Chapter 4, Identifying Local Factors. A hidden connection is stronger than an obvious one. Heraclitus of Ephesus. Your local real estate market may closely mirror national trends, but sometimes local factors can overshadow national ones and allow incredible opportunities for people who spot them in time. Remember, opportunities are always there. It's my job to help you clear away the smoke so you can see those right in front of you. Local factors do one of two things. First, they may agree with national factors and help you make educated decisions based on the real estate cycle in your area. Second, local factors may be strong enough to override national factors and give your area or your smaller pocket area a unique cycle that's independent of the rest of the country. By taking advantage of local factors, I have made a lot of money in my original hometown of Marlborough, New York, which lies about 65 miles north of New York City. Until recently, commuting from Marlborough to New York City took at least an hour and a half when there wasn't traffic. Add rush hour traffic into the mix, and you could easily add another hour to a one-way commute. But then, a few things happened. Train service, just 10 miles away, improved immensely, making the commute to New York City faster and more convenient. Then, real estate prices in the neighboring suburbs of Westchester and Rockland counties skyrocketed, making homes in nearby Marlborough much more valuable as a result. While moderate home prices in Westchester and Rockland were selling for approximately $500,000, similar homes in Marlborough, just 45 minutes away, were selling for only $195,000. I suddenly realized that people working in New York City who couldn't afford homes in Westchester or Rockland would be willing to take a little extra time for their commute if they could buy a more affordable home in Marlborough. 1 acre vacant lots in Marlborough quickly jumped from $40,000 to $140,000. A typical home in Marlborough increased from $195,000 to $350,000 or more. People in Westchester started selling their 30-year-old 1,800-square-foot home for $500,000 so they could move to Marlborough and buy a new 3,000-square-foot home for the same price. This is an example of a local determining factor that could make you a fortune if you catch it in time. Many people who had sold their home at the first price increase netted a small profit, but if they had recognized how real estate cycles work and how long they take to change, they could have made a much larger profit. I even sold some properties much too soon, but I then did exactly what I am teaching you to do. I evaluated the local and national factors and realized that this was a long-term upswing for the Marlborough community. Remember, you can always sell too soon and regret not waiting, or you can sell too late and regret not selling earlier. A wise investor once told me, "You can never fault a profit. You'll never know the exact best time to sell until afterwards. Follow national and local factors and make the most educated decision possible rather than getting caught up in the emotion of the market and making a hasty decision based on fear or a desire to make a quick buck." While local factors were driving the real estate market in Marlborough, I kept my eye on national factors too. At the time, interest rates were going down and the economy was improving. I realized that the real estate cycle was at the beginning of a much larger upswing. So I started buying more property and holding on to my existing ones. As soon as I determined that the real estate cycle had ended its upswing and was starting to slow, I started selling my properties at prices that would be near the peak of that particular real estate cycle. You must always consider both local and national factors because one can affect or reverse the trends of the other. When home prices in Marlborough rose just 10%, the locals started telling people they were crazy paying those prices. I bought one parcel of land for $180,000, and a local businessman told me, "Son, you just made a big mistake." His limited thinking blinded him from seeing how real estate cycles work. I subdivided the property and pulled in more than $900,000 profit. I was able to do that only because I could see which direction real estate prices were going based on the current cycle. I make mistakes, but I base my decisions on understanding what worked in the past, applying the right strategy during the right real estate cycle. In comparison, most people make decisions out of hope or by following the crowd, which rarely leads to an optimum result when buying or selling properties. By following the crowd, you'll generally be 10 steps behind, making the right decision at the wrong time. After a 7-year upswing in Marlboro, the real estate cycle started to slow, with homes taking longer to sell, a good indicator that the market is slowing and prices dropping. To take advantage of this new cycle, I changed my strategy. In just a few weeks before writing this section, I purchased a foreclosure for about 30% of its worth. I also bought a pre-foreclosure house in very distressed condition for $35,000. The lot alone is worth 2 times that figure. Plus, I purchased a home that the owner had to sell immediately due to financial reasons for about $100,000 less than its value. Now, I can rent my properties, and when the real estate cycle hits bottom and starts up again, I'll be able to sell these properties for a large profit or refinance them and pull out the equity to buy other properties. By understanding the cycle you are in, you can minimize your risks while maximizing your gains. Local factors influencing real estate. Here are the local factors we will be analyzing in this chapter: migration and job growth, development plans, new construction, supply and demand, neighborhood trends. As you did in determining national factors, you will decide how each local factor is affecting your market. As I mentioned, sometimes one or two local factors can outweigh all the national factors and the other local factors combined. If all the national factors point toward a downward trend, but you were investing in a place that is booming or has become the new destination for upwardly mobile families, those factors can outweigh higher interest rates, inflation, and any other national factors. Remember the 5 choices in Chapter 3? Top, down, bottom, up, and NA? Well, I'm adding a 6th choice, MF, major factor, that identifies any factor that can have a dramatic effect on your local area. Local factor number 1, migration and job growth. Migration and job growth go together, because if an area has a sudden increase of jobs, more people flood into that area, driving up real estate prices and apartment rentals. If an area suddenly loses jobs, more people will leave that area, depressing real estate prices and lowering rental demand. Each situation creates different but profitable opportunities. The demographics of the people migrating into a certain area also play a role in determining how the real estate market will change. For example, if a large number of people with relatively high incomes move into a particular area, the demand for single-family homes will likely be higher than the demand for apartment rentals. Paying attention to these factors can help you determine the smartest types of real estate investment for your area. It's no secret that the population had been steadily migrating from the northern states to the southern states. Given a choice between moving to a cold climate or a warmer one, many businesses are choosing the warmer climates. As a result, warmer climates tend to offer greater employment opportunities. Now, migration implies a trend, and trends occur over time. To take advantage of any trend, you need to understand both the macro, grand view, and then drill down to how it affects the micro, local view. For example, from 2000 to 2006, migration had a huge effect on real estate prices in Phoenix. With all the national and local factors aligned for growth, California home prices doubled overnight, causing many people to cash out and walk away with huge profits from the sale of their homes. But when you cash out and sell your home, you may have trouble buying another home in that same area with the same money because the prices of all homes tend to increase at the same time. So, people in California were stuck with a dilemma. Using the money from the sale of their first house, they could buy a similar or smaller house in the same area. Or they could simply move to an area where housing prices were much cheaper. In many cases, people from California migrated to the nearest area with similar job opportunities, such as Phoenix. One of the most successful realtors in Phoenix told me that at the time, nearly 40% of all new home sales were going to people moving to Phoenix from California. As the real estate cycle in California peaked and started to turn downward, the real estate cycle in Phoenix kept climbing because people were still migrating from California. However, once I recognized the slowing cycle in California, I knew the Phoenix cycle would slow as well. This gave me enough time to buy properties, fix them up, and sell them before the Phoenix upswing cycle ended. As soon as the Phoenix cycle started downward, I switched strategies. To understand how migration can affect your local area, you need to track migration trends nationally, which areas people are leaving, and locally, which areas people are moving into. One way to determine the flow of migration is to call your local U-Haul or other truck rental company. Normally, U-Haul lets you rent a moving truck in one city and return it in a different city with no penalty. However, if a certain area is seeing a high migration of people out, the U-Haul franchises in that area will often charge an extra fee for people taking one of their rented moving trucks out of the area. Or they'll offer a discount if you return the moving truck to the same area instead. Likewise, call U-Haul or a moving company and ask which part of the country most of their vehicles have been going to. During the big real estate boom in California, many trucks left California for less expensive places, such as Las Vegas or Phoenix. Real life story. Sometimes migration to an area can occur from the strangest factors, as one of my friends found out, in a way that made him a ton of money. We lived in a town with a small private university, where the enrollment had been stagnant for years. As a result, real estate surrounding the university had been flat for some time. Then the school hired a new head basketball coach, who turned their average basketball program into one that made it to the NCAA Tournament Final Eight, known as the Elite Eight. The university gained national attention. And within a few years, enrollment increased and student housing became scarce. By watching these local factors, we saw the demand start to increase. So we found a large home and remodeled it with 5 bedrooms for students. We normally could have rented the house for $695 per month, but by completing the remodel and renting to students, we were able to nearly double the rental income. This strategy worked even though the surrounding area away from the university was in a bottom real estate cycle. The lesson we learned was that by predicting the effect of increased migration into an area, we were able to profit from the soon-to-be growing rental market. So, how is migration and job growth in your area? Are people coming or going? Are population and job growth in your area simply staying the same? Is there a lot of unemployment and minimal opportunity? Have companies shut down? Or are new commercial buildings going up? Do you see lots of new faces? Look in the local newspapers, go online, observe your surroundings, and make some calls. A little research will go a long way. Either now or after you do some research, decide how migration is currently affecting your local market. Top, down, bottom, up, not applicable at this time, or a major factor. Local factor number 2, development plans. They say you can't judge a book by its cover. That's true for real estate, too. If an area looks stagnant or run down, it could be a gold mine waiting to be discovered. Many areas are designated in the path of development, which means that new construction is planned for that area, such as a shopping mall or a new or improved road. By checking with the city planning office or economic development committee, some towns and cities have a website you can visit, you can learn about their long-term development plans and see which areas may be a good place to start looking for residential properties. If a town doesn't have a planning office or an economic development committee website, they will definitely have public meetings you can attend or public transcriptions from meetings. The trick is to learn about all planned development and how many years away each plan may be from getting started. Real life story. The following story tells how one of my students took advantage of development plans in his area and made a fortune. I found a nice, three-bedroom, brick home in a good rental area that I believed was in the path of commercial development. I purchased this home with 100% financing and rented it for a $100 per month positive net cash flow after paying my mortgage, taxes, and insurance. I bought this home because I could see that the migration path of commercial development was headed right through the area where the home is located. I plan on holding on to this property until the path of commercial development drives my property value up and I can apply for rezoning to office commercial and either sell or lease the property. I know that I need to hold on to the property for 4 to 5 years to maximize my profits, but because I bought it with 100% financing and the place makes me money every month, I am in no rush. This is the way smart people build wealth. At least that's how I feel now that I'm a real estate investor. Is a wave of development going on or planned for your area? Use the internet to search past newspapers and current stories, and check your town or city's websites for information about growth and zoning changes. Decide which direction growth is heading in your area. I know this sounds like a little work, but the knowledge in this book, combined with some effort and a desire on your part, can produce millions. Take the time now, and your life will change forever, I promise. So, give development your choice, top, down, bottom, up, not applicable at this time, or a major factor. Local factor number 3, new construction. Drive around any area and you can see whether any construction is taking place. In general, new construction of any type, including remodeling current buildings, means that the area has a positive future. New construction affects the supply side of the real estate market. While market factors of job growth, migration, and future development increase the demand for real estate, too much or too little new construction can affect the supply of available real estate. When you combine an oversupply of new construction with an undersupply of buyers due to national factors, such as a recession, the result can be devastating to the market. On the other hand, combine an undersupply of new construction with a large pool of buyers due to a strong economy and other national or local factors, and the price of real estate can skyrocket. New construction affects not only supply, but also prices. Property owners will have a hard time increasing prices if new homes are built in the same area and sell for much less. Conversely, prices for homes in areas without new construction can rise much more rapidly, because those homes are the only available options for people who want to move there. Check with your local building department and see how many new building permits are being filed each month compared to a year and 2 years ago. When you see new construction in an area, that could signal either an upward or downward cycle. For example, during the hot real estate boom in California in early 2000, multiple new construction projects began to meet the rising demand for homes. However, by the time the real estate market cooled and began dropping, many of the later construction projects were just completed. This resulted in a sudden oversupply of homes, which helped push prices down even further. Rate the construction in your area, top, down, bottom, up, not applicable at this time, or a major factor. Local factor number 4, supply and demand. Supply and demand affects every real estate cycle. In an up cycle, demand is greater than supply. In a down cycle, supply is greater than demand. At the peak and the bottom, supply and demand briefly achieve equilibrium. The imbalances cause the shifts in the cycle from up to down and vice versa. It's important to monitor supply and demand for signs that the real estate cycle may be changing soon. I cannot stress the importance of this factor. To understand the current demand in an area, keep track of the area's monthly home sales. I am referring to the number of homes sold, not the total number of homes on the market. By comparing the number of homes bought in the current month to those bought in previous months, you can see whether the market of buyers is increasing or decreasing. The number of homes sold has more to do with the number of buyers than the number of sellers. A higher number of homes sold indicates a higher demand by buyers. To understand the current supply of real estate, watch the number of real estate listings in your particular market. You may be able to request a free report by filling out a form on your county assessor's website on sites such as www.dqnews.com or by searching on Google or any search engine with the keywords home sales statistics followed by your state, city, or town. If you have a good relationship with a real estate agent, ask him or her to access this information through the Multiple Listing Service, MLS, which every real estate agent can use, but members of the public cannot. Keep in mind that real estate markets are often seasonal, depending on the area. Typically, more people buy and sell homes in the summer than the winter, so a straight month-to-month comparison of home sales can be misleading. Find the number of homes on the market and how long, on average, it takes a home to sell. Then, write down those numbers for three time periods: a year ago, 6 months ago, and now. If a year ago, 1,000 homes were on the market, and it took an average of 10 days to sell a house, 6 months ago, 1,500 homes were for sale, and on average, it took 20 days to sell a home, and now, 2,500 homes are for sale, and the average time to sell a home is 45 days, you know that supply far outweighs demand. Either too much building took place, the flow of funds into real estate has stopped, or migration and oversupply are driving down the market and prices. This signals a peak or downward cycle. Visit or call new housing projects. During the big real estate boom in Phoenix, you had to put your name in a lottery just for a chance to buy a new home. Now, new home buyers are doing the opposite. Supply far outweighs demand, and developers who started too late are struggling to get rid of inventories by offering huge incentives. As you should already know by now, there is never a better or worse time to invest in real estate. It's all about identifying the correct real estate cycle and applying the right money-making strategy. So, how is the supply and demand in your area? Top, bottom, down, up, not applicable at this time, or a major factor? Local factor number 5, neighborhood trends. In any city or town, you can always find one area that's prosperous and another area nearby that's stagnant or declining. Drive around the neighborhood at different times of the day: morning, afternoon, night, weekends, and weekdays. Is the area run down, with lots of broken down cars on the streets and driveways and yards not maintained? Do just a few houses look like this, or is the entire neighborhood run down? Are some houses being fixed up? By looking for subtle signs about a neighborhood's condition, you can get a rough idea about the history and future of an area. Beyond a visual study of a neighborhood, look into its background as well. What have the local employment statistics been over the last 1 to 10 years? Has the city's population grown or declined over the same time period? What is the median income? You can get the median income by zip code from the local chapter of commerce or your local city or state website. What is the employment base of the area? Is it diversified or heavily reliant on a single industry or local employer? In the Midwest, the big three automakers, Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler, are closing plants and laying off workers. Even worse, many of these plants are the number one or two employers in town. So, a single plant closing can have a major effect on the real estate market. As a result, homes can often be purchased for the price of the land because few people have the money or ability to finance properties. Because people still need a place to live, these types of areas can make excellent rental markets. You can oftentimes get 100% financing and still generate a positive cash flow. The key with rental property is property management. If you're not able or willing to manage the property yourself, you'll need to hire a good property manager. I'll discuss property management in Chapter 19. A local factor, such as an economic condition, can change the strategy you use in purchasing properties. So the Midwest, for example, might not be the place to try the fix and flip strategy unless you can purchase the property at a deep discount. Instead, you'd be better off using a rental strategy. When evaluating any area, you need to use a combination of objective data and your own instinct. Just be careful that you don't fall in love with the right house in the wrong neighborhood. Real life story. The following story of two of my friends shows the danger of relying too heavily on your instinct and not enough on objective information. We purchased a beautiful 1910 Victorian home that we fell in love with the moment we stepped inside. Although the house was run down, it still had beautiful leaded glass windows, natural woodwork, built-in hutches with glass doors, and hardwood floors. We bought it, cleaned it up, and made it sparkle. We loved the house even though it was in a questionable neighborhood. As a result, we violated the number one principle of real estate: location, location, location. To make a long story short, the beautiful house we loved could be rented only to less than desirable tenants because the type of tenants we hoped to attract didn't want to live in that neighborhood. Although we later sold the house for a small profit, we would have been better off buying a different home in a much better neighborhood. One neighborhood trend that can get overlooked is the commuting time to nearby jobs. People want the right balance of affordability and tolerable commuting time. In my neighborhood, home prices have been steadily increasing because of its central location to community events and businesses, and its proximity to public transportation and the airport. The central location makes the commute time to work more tolerable, while the short drive to the airport makes business trips more convenient for regular business travelers. Best of all, the area is already built up, which means there is no room for expansion, making the existing homes more valuable and in limited supply. So, think about any neighborhood factors that affect the area where you want to invest, and figure out what effect they have on your market. Top, down, bottom, up, not applicable at this time, or a major factor. Calculating local factors. A single local factor can outweigh multiple national factors. So, it's important to understand your neighborhood thoroughly. That's why I emphasize that you should invest where you live, at least until you become familiar with real estate investment. After all, who knows more about a neighborhood than the people who live there? For each local factor, select one of the choices: top, down, bottom, up, not applicable, or major factor. Because local factors can be so important, do your research carefully. You may just find a neighborhood that's ready to boom while the rest of the country is going bust. In most of the country between 2000 and 2004, you could buy any house that needed a little work, clean it up, and sell it for a tidy profit. But no real estate market lasts forever. There's always going to be a time when the market starts coming down, and that's not the time to get scared. That's the time to become a switch hitter. If a right-handed pitcher comes to the mound, bat right-handed. If a left-handed pitcher comes to the mound, bat left-handed. That's exactly what you have to do with real estate. Use one set of strategies as the market goes up and a different set when the market comes down, and you can make just as much money going either way. For example, my dad had a friend who wanted to buy a foreclosure. He asked my advice because I had done a lot of buying and selling in that area. Using both the national and local factors I've outlined in this chapter and in chapter 3, I determined that the local market was in a down cycle, so buying foreclosures and tax sales made the most sense. My dad's friend soon found a foreclosure using my techniques, but he backed out at the last minute and asked whether I wanted to buy the property. The price was less than $60,000 for a two-family home. Now, I don't know where you can buy a two-family home for that kind of money anywhere in the country. I knew it had to be worth about four times that amount in that particular neighborhood. So, I bought it sight unseen, not a strategy I recommend to novice investors. Paying the past taxes, the attorney, and the purchase price cost me just under $60,000. I went to my mortgage broker and refinanced as fast as possible. Now remember, a good mortgage broker deals with a multitude of banks to help you find the best financing possible. I asked my mortgage broker to find a bank that didn't worry about seasoning. Seasoning means that the bank wants you to own a piece of property for a certain period of time, such as 6 months or a year, before they'll approve you for refinancing based on the value of the property versus basing the financing on your purchase price. You may have to pay an extra 0.5% in interest for this privilege, though. I told my mortgage broker that I had just bought a property for $60,000 but I thought it could be appraised for more than $200,000. Well, I refinanced that house and walked out of the closing with a check for $188,000. After paying back the $60,000, I still had $128,000 left. My rental income from it pays the mortgage. Now I'm going to spend $30,000 to make improvements with the bank's money, so I can rent it out for the maximum amount possible, and I'll still have $98,000 left. I'm going to hold the property until the market changes in a few years. Then I can decide to sell in an upward cycle and make even more money. Whether the real estate market goes up or down, I win. And these are the types of strategies I want to teach you. Conclusion. By the time you are finished reading this book, I want you to know how to purchase properties just like I did in this real-life example. The key is to do your research up front and buy properties at the right price. By using the right techniques, you will minimize your risk and maximize your profit. You will build a safety net, just like an insurance policy, so that you will establish the right conditions before and when you purchase property. Read on, and the strategies and techniques will become clearer.